Welcome to the Tate Talks podcast.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic.
Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in to Tate Talks once again, where today I had the opportunity to chat to my friend Caitlin Jopp of Channel Program, where we spoke about her career history and encyclopedic knowledge of MSP events. Hope you enjoy. Hi, Caitlin. It's so great to see you. It's been an awful long time. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Tate Talks today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited. Long overdue, in my opinion.
I know. We were just chatting about when we last saw each other, and neither of us can remember, which is a bit of a problem. So hopefully we can put that right in the not too distant future. But for those who don't know you as well as I do, could you just maybe kick things off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Caitlin Jopp. I am the VP of Community Engagement at Channel Program. We're a dual-sided marketplace for vendors and MSPs to kind of review and evaluate their stack, but also be in constant contact with the partners that their vendor partners that they're using every day. I have been in the channel now, I guess, for almost 10 years. I think we're going into like year 8. I started my career with IT Glue, which is where I probably met most of the people listening to this podcast. And then I went on to work for Avik for 5 years and kind of ran their channel events program there and got to travel the world and meet amazing people like you. So, that's kind of been my background for the channel for the last little while.
Oh, wow. 8 years. I didn't know you'd been in there that long. But I guess two questions. How did you get into IT Glue, and what were you doing sort of pre-channel, or what were you doing much before you entered the IT community?
Yeah, so I feel like I stumbled onto the IT community kind of serendipitously. I was in university to be a criminal psychologist. So I was actually in year 4. Doing a double major in psychology and criminology. The plan was to graduate from SFU or TRU and go on to do my master's, but I ran out of money and I decided to just take the summer off. I was doing some personal assisting work in Vancouver for a gentleman that owned an accounting firm down there, and it was fun. Kind of like getting to do like day-to-day mundane tasks. But one of my really good girlfriends at the time was the director or VP of people and culture at IT Glue. And she needed somebody to come in and run events. And she just kind of knew me probably for about like 10 years at that point. We had known each other since high school. And I am extremely type A, extremely organized. I love to travel, and she thought that it would be a really good fit. So I ended up getting taken on there, and the rest is kind of history. I went to my first event in 2016 in Omaha, Nebraska. It was Tiger Paws annual conference. And I just thought it was like the greatest thing in the world. And I met some amazing people, and I kind of got locked in. I never ended up going back to university to finish school.
Wow. Okay. And does the criminal psychology come in useful in your day-to-day work?
Probably not so much the criminology side, but the psychology side does. It has helped me in marketing a lot. Obviously, there is a psychological aspect to being able to like market any product or solution. So being able to kind of be on the other side of that and understand how people perceive and think has always been helpful. I wish I could say that the criminology side helped me, especially in the MSP industry. I'm sure there's some extremely interesting profiles that we could pick out of our designated audience, but for the most part, it's not the skill set I've really been able to put into use for the last 8 years.
No, okay, I'll take that, and I'll speak to you about that afterwards. That sounds interesting. But obviously, you've seen a lot of changes then since that first event 8 years ago on the road. I mean, with sort of three different vendors, and you've probably been to hundreds or thousands of events on the road. I mean, what have you seen changes in the way that events are run, or the way that attendees at these events over the years?
Yeah, I mean, obviously going into Tiger Paw being like the first event that I went to, they more dealt with like a lot of MSPs that focused on like telecom and a lot of like smaller MSPs based on like just sheer size and cost of the product. But my event right after that event was IT Nation. So it was really like an interesting perspective where you went from like being in like a tiny little ballroom with like only 12 other vendors to being with 2,500, 3,000 people, and you've taken over like a whole conference center. So that was really interesting, but it's also, I think, just the audiences that were really interesting in the comparison of those two events. As I have continued on in my career, I think we've kind of, well, we first of all, we've seen events get more and more expensive. I'm fairly confident when we first went to IT Nation, it didn't cost as much as it does now, but the event has evolved and still provides a lot of value. And they're a great person. They're a great company to partner with. I feel like a lot of those events become more and more of a production, if that makes sense, like throughout the years. And we've seen it like ASCII Edge just did like a huge rebrand this last year. Whereas like previously they were small regional events. They had like little tiny hotels. There wasn't a lot of like branding around. It was a little bit more on the budget side of things. But now they've really like put a lot of money into like the branding, the experience that their attendees are getting, the production, which is great to see. They're also like a great group. So that's been like a really interesting shift. And then obviously going through pandemic and seeing in-person events go away altogether and everybody having to scramble to shift to like that virtual event that still provided the same value add taught us a lot. There's obviously no replacement for in-person networking. And then kind of now coming into this year, I think there's a lot of focus on going back to like that thought leadership and how we can get like engineers and techs more involved in events versus like the business owners. So I did just come off of going to MSP GeekCon last week, which was strictly technical, attendee focused. And it was great to see the content that they put together for that. Because we don't get to see a lot of speakers dedicating their presentations to like that part of the MSP business. So the evolution has just been interesting. I'm curious to see like where it's going to go because like the events are just getting bigger and bigger and a little bit crazier and crazier. And there's just so many of them. I don't want to do a shameless plug, but we do have an industry calendar at a channel program. And like the amount of event submissions that we get on like a daily and weekly basis is just insane. So being on the attendee side of it and having to like pick and choose what it is that you're attending is like, it's getting challenging for sure.
Yeah, and I've used your event calendar. It's very useful. I recommend anyone if they're looking for events, it's a kind of the go-to place because it's always been a challenge to find events in the area when there are so many. You don't know where to go. Trawling individual vendor websites is very time consuming. So that's a great resource. And I was going to ask you about the pandemic and how that's changed things. And you answered that. Yeah, but I think you answered that perfectly. And I agree. I think a lot of events are having to move to more thought leadership. And on the technical side, I know that as we're recording this, I think it's this week or maybe last week, there was the IT Nation Secure event, which is probably more technically aimed than the main IT Nation event as well.
Yeah, so the IT Nation Secure event is interesting because I find that it is still targeted towards business owners. It's kind of taken that shift back, whereas it was to replace Automation Nation, which is no longer being run for that kind of like lab tech side of the ConnectWise suite. And that was like the only technical attendee conference really for like the entire year. And now that it's secure, it has kind of more shifted where more business owners are going, which is great for vendors, great for the people that want to get in front of the decision makers of the business on our side. But it was really nice to see MSP Geek, which is a Slack community, if nobody knows that's listening to this, of about 10,000 people in the industry. They're completely agnostic. They do have a lot of support from ConnectWise, and they've kind of taken the mindset of throwing an event for the people that are in their communities, which was really great to see, because it does give the chance for those techs that no longer have the option to go to Automation Nation to have something to look forward to every year. And an interesting stat was that they had about, I think, 400 registrants, and 53% of them had actually never been to a conference before. So that was really interesting and kind of indicative of the audience that they were really trying to target.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I'll have a look at that. That sounds great. And I guess not specifically around MSP Geek, but something that I'd be curious about your opinion on as a successful woman in technology, as the terminology goes, is, have you seen the sort of demographic at these events change? I mean, since I've been going, it's the majority of people have had the, misfortune to resemble me in some respect. And I think that it's trying to work out, I mean, are we getting better at attracting a more diverse audience to these events, do you think?
I definitely think that we're doing our best. I am seeing more and more female representation out at these events. There's more and more communities and initiatives that support the visibility of women behind the businesses being more forefront and speaking. There's some great trailblazers in our space that are really paving an amazing way for the next generation of people to come into this industry. I think it's a really tough balance, if I can be completely honest, because like you obviously want to provide that opportunity for women to be welcomed and visible and more comfortable with attending these types of events, but you want to do it in a way that's not like isolating the differences that are highlighted between the struggles that maybe like they face being women in business in general versus men. So I think it's kind of like a little bit of a balance, and something that I've been a huge advocate of for like the last few years. CompTIA does have an amazing Advancing Women in Technology interest group that is free to join, and an amazing resource for anybody looking to connect with other women in the technology space, or even for those opportunities to like be more visible or more forefront from a thought leadership perspective. They're amazing supporters in that, and that community is just like growing rapidly month over month. But I think it is about like finding that balance for sure. And we are seeing it, I think, finally become less of something we're all focused on doing, and it's just happening naturally.
Yeah, which is obviously the way we want it to happen, but maybe it just needed a nudge. And the CompTIA thing, I'll put a link to that in the description, because I know I've heard a lot of really sort of good feedback about that Advancing Women in Technology program they've got running. Yeah.
Yeah. CompTIA in general is a great resource for anybody that is in our space. So highly encouraged to check it out for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a UK community meetup in a couple of weeks that I'll be there. Looking forward to get that, which is always good.
Birmingham or something, right?
Birmingham, yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, you see, you know all the events. That's the, yeah, so we'll be there. And there's an awards dinner as well, which is always good to look back on the previous year and recognize success. So that should be a good day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So moving on to the next question, and I think you're probably uniquely placed to answer this because of your role at Channel Program, and you speak to lots of different vendors around the world. In that, what are you seeing that some of the bigger challenges that vendors or MSPs, I guess, either way you want to answer that, are seeing as we sort of get into the second half of 2023?
Yeah, I think each side is definitely faced with its unique challenges. Obviously, from like a business perspective on both sides, there's like a little bit of some economical factors that are being taken into consideration just globally right now that is making the business decisions that the MSPs are making somewhat lengthier when it comes to like bringing on new solutions or where their time is spent, travel, things like that for events specifically. Obviously we discussed how there's so many, like how do you even pick everything now? Every solution that an MSP is using in their technology stack seems to have an annual conference now. So like, where are you finding that balance? But then obviously vendors are really struggling with trying to find like where they spend their dollars as well. We are looking into like longer buying cycles for solutions and offerings being sold to the market. And then channel enablement, I think, is something that has always been a struggle on the vendor side, is like, how do vendors really support their partners in educating their customers on their solutions, but also making sure that they're educated on the solutions that are directly impacting their businesses. So I think it's kind of like a financial hurdle on both sides, but it's really just comes down to like time. Like there's really not enough time for us, any vendor or MSP, to be to really spread across everything that they should or want to be focusing on their business. And I can't see that changing anytime soon, especially as we've seen with the trends of cybersecurity, for example. It's just moving so rapidly that it's an area that just can't be ignored by MSPs, and a lot of time is being spent on that. But then obviously keeping up with certain trends and what's going on in the industry and the needs of the MSP on the vendor side is something that just takes a ton of time on the vendors as well. So it's kind of twofold. Hopefully that answers your question.
It does, and it leads me on to another question, which is, obviously I've been on both sides of the fence. On the MSP side, where back in the day we would probably go to an event, maybe a Autotest community live event or a IT Nation, to learn about new products and services. But also I've been on the vendor side of the fence, where we've got great products and services, but we've got to get those into the minds or into the thought process of MSPs. And I guess that's where Channel Program tries to help, right? So I guess, you know, maybe for people that don't know about Channel Program, could you describe a little bit about what it does?
Yeah, so Channel Program, I'll start on the MSP side, because I think it's really important for the MSPs to kind of know what it is that we're doing. We really are trying to take and shift the relationship that you have with the many vendors that you are interacting with in your guys' businesses. So we do offer a partner portal is a huge part of our platform. It's completely free for MSPs, but we do offer that one-to-many relationship for the vendors that those MSPs are working with every single day. So while most of them are logging into probably 20 or 30 portals, most of them are not being up to date because, like we said, most vendors really struggle with that channel enablement piece of the business. They are able to log into Channel Program and have a one-to-many relationship with their vendors instead of that one-to-one. So you log in and you see the 15, 20 vendors that you're working with as part of our platform versus having to log in to get all of your materials. This is really important too, because it does kind of go back to that time cost savings for the MSP. Also, it's free. MSPs don't get a lot of things for free in the business, in our industry. So they've really loved that. But the other side of our platform has really focused around product reviews. There is not a centralized place in our industry that allows peer-to-peer feedback on the solutions that MSPs are using in their business every day. And we've centralized that in Channel Program for kind of a one-stop shop for where MSPs can go to evaluate and manage the solutions that they're already using every day in their business. Or if they would like to bring on new solutions, they can get that peer-to-peer feedback from people already using those products to see if it's a right fit. So again, kind of a little bit of a shameless plug. We do pay the MSPs for those reviews. So if there's anybody listening to this and you guys have solutions that you would like to review on our platform, we do pay $15 for a review, per review. So it's definitely something we think about taking advantage of because it is real-time data. It's not something that we update or log on a quarterly or yearly basis, which is a lot of what you see with G2 and Capterra. It is pinpoint the day of the exact feelings of how anybody's feeling about any type of solution in the industry at any given time. So definitely a great resource.
Yeah, and from a with a vendor hat on, we love getting feedback from partners as well, or potential partners, and it's difficult to do, so that helps us out as well.
Yeah, and the vendor side of our platform, I guess I should say, is just as important, because as we said, there are so many choices for vendors in our space nowadays that Channel Program is really offering that agnostic, which is, I think, really important for vendors now more than ever. That agnostic landscape for them to reach out to not only their partners through our partner portal, but also through new prospects. We do have a community of 7,000 members. It's growing every day. And specifically around PRMs, it's only most vendors only see about a 10 to 15% utilization rate of their internal partner portals within their businesses. So if we're able to capitalize on the other 80%, and get their partners into their partner portal through an easier, more streamlined manner. That's just benefiting the partner and the communications that they're able to have with their partners in a very cost-effective, easy lift, no time out of the office, no travel way. So we're doing our best on that front.
No, I think you're doing a great job. And I you know, often, I'm probably not the target audience, but I often tune into the sort of channel pitch events just to see what else is out there, what's happening in the industry. I think it's sort of super useful. It's like walking around a sort of a exhibition floor at a conference without having to leave the house. So yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. And we actually have Jump Cloud just signed on with us. They're one of our brand new partners we're really excited about. And I think they're going to be pitching in the next few months. So that'll be one you'll definitely have to tune into.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope it goes well. So let's just change gear slightly, because we're rapidly running through the time. Outside of the MSP community, which I know probably just take a lot of your time, but what do you get up to outside of there in terms of, do you listen to books? Are you a podcaster, a TV, a movie watcher? What do you do to relax?
Yeah, so what do I do to relax? So shamelessly, I am a reality TV junkie, unfortunately. I love a good Bravo television show. So a lot of the time that I do spend watching television, which is not a lot, normally it's that trash, unfortunately. I have gotten into podcasts recently. I wasn't a huge podcast listener until I started working for Kevin Lancaster, and he's huge into podcasts. We did a Spotify wrap up just as like a fun thing with the company earlier this year. And I don't even think he had music on his Spotify wrap up. It was like all podcasts. So I've really been interested in the Take Five podcast, which is a marketing podcast. It's phenomenal. So I've really liked that one. And then I think it's called How This Was Made, or How It's Made, which is really popular right now, or How This Started, where it's basically just a bunch of like companies and their CEOs come and talk about like how it is that they got started, which is kind of like your podcast, but that one's really exciting. And I do love books. I'm an autobiography junkie, so I've read quite a few autobiographies. That seems to be my genre of choice. But I live in Victoria, British Columbia, which is literally one of the most beautiful places in the world. So I spend a lot of time outside. So I paddleboard in the summer. I took up surfing recently, which is another like beast of an activity, but it's really, really fun. Camping, hiking, beach walks. I try to be outside as much as possible when the weather is nice here on the West Coast, because you get a very short window and then it's rain the rest of the year.
Yeah, that sounds very, very good. I'm quite an active lifestyle, which is good. I'll link to those podcasts. I think someone else has already mentioned the one about how the businesses get starting. So, and I've not listened to it yet, but that's two recommendations. I better give it a listen.
It's good. You find some really interesting companies that come up, like ones that you wouldn't think have a great story behind them, but then they end up. So it's definitely worth a listen. But the Take Five one is really good too. If you're at all in marketing, I'd highly recommend it.
We're all in marketing. Is that what they say? We're all... Yes. We're all marketing one thing or another, whether it's ourselves or a product or a company or something. Very so, okay. So going back to the questions around your career, if you were starting again today, obviously you sort of made quite a pivot from your criminal psychology. But if you were starting again today, what advice would you give yourself, what would you have done differently, if anything?
Oh, that one's tough. What would I have done differently? I mean, I'm not sure I would have done anything differently, in the sense that, like, I'm very fortunate to be good at what I do, like serendipitously fall into that kind of like niche event planning, lead generation type of role. If I could go back and do it differently, I think I would try and find mentors in other parts of marketing where I could broaden away from like the rapid lead generation kind of role that I've adopted over the last 8 years, where it's like you go to events, you get 100 leads, you figure it out, or the fun campaigns that we do like Treat Wave or holidays or whatever. And I'd kind of learn a little bit more about the workings of inbound and SEO and things like that from the people who I've worked with that are absolutely phenomenal at those things. We had some absolute geniuses at Ovik that specialized in these areas, and I don't feel like I soaked up as much of the knowledge from them that I could have, especially with being out of the office so much, because I was traveling on average every like 7 to 10 days. So I think that's one thing that I would change. And then I think I would try and focus more of my time on mentoring, because I think that there's a lot of people coming up in tech that kind of don't know where to start, or feel maybe they don't have a place because they don't have the traditional background. And I think being able to provide the insight of just like bearing down and putting in some hard work will get you everywhere. And how people can do that, I think, would be something I wish I did a little bit sooner.
Okay. Well, it's certainly not too late, I'm sure, for you to sort of dig in and find that out. And I'm sure that your expertise would be sort of super useful to people just starting out. So I will put all of your sort of LinkedIn details and everything in there, so I'm sure people may be in touch with you.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. We made it to the final question, which is the one I ask everyone at this point. Bearing in mind, we're speaking, hopefully someone's listening, I'm never quite sure, to an audience of MSPs predominantly. And so what tip would you give them to help them with their business?
Oh, I think the tip is going to be to keep an eye on cybersecurity offerings going into the next year. I know for the United States specifically, there's a lot of legislations that are coming down that are going to make the requirements for MSPs even more important around that specific area of their businesses than we've previously seen. And staying on top and educated of what is coming down the pipe before it is implemented and before it is hammered down on your business is going to give you an advantage to be able to like really pivot and to be able to really get prepared before it could possibly impact anything that it is that you're doing in your day to day. So that would be my one thing. And then can I have two tips, because I have a second tip?
Of course, yes, go for it.
My second tip would be to like constantly reevaluate the solutions that you're using in your business. I think that it's really important to, while everybody gets comfortable with what it is that they're using, there are some implementation time, money, costs, everything like that. Like I said, this industry is changing so rapidly in all of the areas, and there are new vendors emerging that I personally work with every single day. And there's some great products out there, and you may not run into them at in-person events. And you do have to kind of make the effort to learn about them in other ways, which, like you said, our pitch events or our engage events are a great way to do that. But there is some absolutely phenomenal solutions coming into our space. And I would just encourage MSPs to keep an open mind about that and continue to evaluate their tool stacks on a regular basis. That is what is going to give you the advantage over the competition in your area.
Yeah, two great tips. And I was actually going to almost combine the two, because when you mentioned about staying on top of security and what's coming, I was going to mention that there's a whole new plethora of vendors coming to the space. It used to be so much simpler with my MSP. We we chose a firewall vendor and an antivirus vendor, and that was it. We didn't need to think about anything else. So I am a little bit sort of, when I look at modern MSPs, I think they must spend all the time looking at, there's a new vendor appear every day with a new solution.
That is what I was saying. It's like, there's just not enough time for MSPs nowadays to really dive into the makeups of their business that I think there was even 10, 15, even 5 years ago, probably. I met with a vendor yesterday. They're one vendor that has 26 product offerings underneath their umbrella. And it's honestly, people are going to see them come up more and more. We kind of went over their marketing strategies going into the second half of the year, and I'm really excited to see. But they offer an entire suite of solutions. And it's like, how do you even sift through 26 product lines under one vendor? And then you're doing that times 10, 15, depending on what it is that you're evaluating in your business. So I think that having all of these new vendors come into the space is amazing, because I truly believe that MSPs should have a choice in the products that they use in their business every day. And especially in the landscape of all the mergers and acquisitions that we've seen over the last few years, not to name any names, but we all know who we're talking about. It's important, I think, to continue to have those options, those independent owned options for MSPs.
No, 100% agree. And thanks for that little summary. That summed it up better than I could. So with that, I'd like to thank you once again for your time for joining us today. It's been an absolute treat for me. And I know that I'm sure the listeners will have sort of enjoyed it as well. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I'll hopefully see you soon in person.
Hopefully.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
And that's that for today. Thanks so much, Caitlin, for joining us. And thanks so much to you for listening. See you next time on Tate Talks.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by Jump Cloud for MSPs. Jump Cloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic. Using Jump Cloud's Open Directory platform, MSPs can iteratively replace point solutions by unifying device, identity, and access management. To learn more, please visit jumpcloud.com/MSP or email the team at partners@jumpcloud.com.